Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com.
The call-in number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. And in the studio with you tonight, you've got me, Bonnie,
Nikki.
It's Ian.
And I just want to say I just heard about Madonna, and I'm really sad.
What about her?
Apparently Madonna is in the ICU with a terrible bacterial infection after being found unresponsive. And I'd like to wish her, I hope she gets well soon. I love Madonna. And I am not ready to lose her. I know she'll die in my lifetime, but I don't want her to die right now.
Yeah, but isn't she like an Illuminati tool or something?
I ignore that part. Because I love
it's
her
okay
music
to like
so
her
much.
Music, right?
Yeah. Well, I also like her. She's so cool.
I don't know. I only know about Madonna's music, but I am a big, like, 80s Madonna fan. So I do agree.
If Madonna was evil, then how come watching her music video Frozen on DMT was a life-changing experience for me?
That's awesome.
I think
yeah,
I would be able
like
to
send
something bad for her. Anyways, yeah, I just wanted to say that about Madonna. I think we're basically done talking about Jeremy Kaufman, but I did want to say something that we kind of brought up during the break is pretty important to me. I think that the Free State Project is getting, you know, kind of a weird popularity contest with all this RFK stuff, and Nikki was sharing the same sentiment. I just think that it's not important for us to be popular among people who don't like us. The point is, become popular on your own merit. If you believe that your beliefs are good and more people could come to your side, quote-unquote, you should be able to get popular on your own merit and throw your own event that's all about you and what you believe and not have people who are popular for being bad psychopaths, but popular nonetheless there to try to get some clout. And I just really don't like that.
Well, and that's how Porkfest started, right? And I don't want it to be like some libertarian purity contest. Like, I don't think it needs to be that serious. But I do have some legitimate concerns because with the past couple of years... Like, previously, there, from what I know, there wasn't really any issues with violence or theft or anything like that. And I know last year some locals came in, they heard, though, there's a big party, and they kind of, like, vandalized some things. So that wasn't really actual attendees of the festival. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, this year someone, like, hit a guy in the head with a crystal. And, like, there's just been some things that weren't happening in the past. And I think if we kind of, like, if Porkfest and, like, FSP stuck to their roots a little bit more and didn't, like, wasn't trying to appeal to these, like, Republican conservative types, and I think we wouldn't really have as many of those issues. And I'm not saying that there was a ton of issues at Porkfest. I actually think this year I stayed pretty much the whole time. I think this year's Porkfest went really smooth. There was only a couple incidents, like, for the most part. It went really well. Most of the events went really, really well. Like, I do think it was a great success, and I always have a great time at Porkfest, so I'm not really trying to say anything too negative about Porkfest, but I think they should reel it in a little bit more with the popularity contest stuff.
Yeah, I mean, it's not every year at Porkfest that the pie station that leaves their money box out gets stolen from. And somebody who's a libertarian wouldn't be doing that.
And Mikey last year had his cash box stolen, and that's part of the, like, appeal of a libertarian society is, like, yeah, you can have a cash box out, and, like, people will just pay for things. Like, you don't need to monitor your stuff and worry about people stealing. Like, I've been to a lot of festivals. certain music festivals, you have to lock up your stuff. Like, you need to worry about people stealing from you, and that's something, like, in libertarian communities, you don't have to worry about, because people have principles, and they believe in property rights, and they just believe in overall being a good person, and I would just really hate to see any of those sentiments getting watered down. Like, I want Porkfest to stay, like, a really safe, like, happy, fun family festival that's free.
Yep. I bring it up in relation to the Jeremy thing, because Ian kind of asked us the question, like, do you think it's okay for Jeremy to call the guy a loser? And Carla Garrick, President Emeritus of the Free State Project, if I'm saying that right,
Emeritus, I'm not sure.
Was one of the people that had to hold the guy back, this guy that was totally out of line, and Jeremy Kaufman kept calling a loser and effing insane and all this stuff.
I think she was actually trying to take the mic from him, and she did successfully get the mic away from him.
Well, she put on Twitter that she was holding him back with all her strength, and she said the words, "I kind of think the guy would have been justified in punching you in the face, Jeremy."
Oof. No.
Words never justify physical attack.
I am shocked that
unless
she said that.
Unless it's an actual threat. As we
of course, but, I mean, Jeremy wasn't threatening him.
No, he's a loser.
And I do kind of get the point, okay, if this guy's being crazy and he's, like, kind of starting to threaten aggression, maybe egging him on.
Might not be a good idea,
but that's not... Calling somebody a loser isn't grounds to physically assault them.
That's definitely
insane.
Jeremy was pretty far away from the guy. I mean, the guy was angry. There's no doubt about it. There were multiple people that were kind of trying to corral him, it looked like. But I don't think Jeremy was really in danger of being attacked by him. I mean, Jeremy's behind a table. He was probably at least... 10 feet away from the guy, at least based on the camera angle that I was looking at. So he didn't, like, come at Jeremy.
Jeremy never even got out of his chair. Yeah, like, to, like, be aggressive or anything like that.
So I don't think there was an actual threat of violence going on here, but there was a crazy person, and you never know what a crazy person who's angry is going to do.
Yeah. And I only bring up what Carlos said because it's just kind of, like, this idea that people need to... be completely whitewashed in, not say with, you know, we need to look good for the public. Like, I think that Jeremy had every right to say what he had to say. And yes, he can't control people looking at him badly for what he said, but that's the libertarian perspective on speech, is you should be able to say whatever you want, and you also can't control how other people perceive you. If somebody doesn't like that Jeremy's behavior, they're welcome to that opinion.
Well, they wouldn't have liked him anyway because he doesn't like vaccines, so there's a lot of people that are just going to be upset at him simply because he doesn't like, or sorry, he does like vaccines, so he was pro-vaccine, and so the people who are anti-vaccine are going to be upset about that, regardless of whether or not he called the guy a loser.
I mean, I'm kind of glad that Jeremy said what he said, because, and I'm kind of anti-vax, like, I'm not completely anti-vax, but... I do think it's important because I don't want things to become like an echo chamber. So it's nice to hear someone say, no, I support vaccines.
Yeah, we don't all agree on this thing.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that's sometimes a good thing.
Yeah.
You know, and he should be free to share his opinion.
And I think that's an important thing to point out. And we do it a lot here on this show when certain issues come up, like libertarians don't agree on abortion. This is one of the issues where they disagree. They don't agree on intellectual property. This is another issue that libertarians have long debates. And the Porcupine Freedom Festival is a great place to have those conversations, whether it's on stage or around a campfire. There's a good chance you're going to find people to have these, you know, nitpicking issue discussions. And at the end of the day, go home and not be mad about what the other person said, because generally the libertarian view is that we don't want to force somebody. So you can be against vaccines or you can be for vaccines, but the libertarian view is whatever you want to do with your body is up to you. You want to put a vaccine in it, that's your body, you do it. If you want to never have a vaccine in your kids, again, your choice, your family, we're going to leave you alone for it. So that's why you can end a conversation at Porkfest with somebody who has a vehemently different viewpoint about an issue and still be friends at the end of the day.
Because, not ending violence.
Right, because you know that that other person agrees with you on 98% of everything else, and they're not going to force their vaccine or their abortion or their, you know, whatever blank, fill in the blank viewpoint on somebody. So I think that that's one of the things that really sets this community apart. And that's another reason why these politicians shouldn't be allowed to speak from the main stage. I'm not saying that, you know, if they are invited to speak by one of the other hubs at Porkfest, which, again, for listeners that don't know, the Porcupine Freedom Festival is an event put on by the Free State Project. It's a summer camping festival. The Free State Project has a main stage, and they have, like, a couple other tents on the main field that they program. They decide what goes there. They decide who speaks on those main featured locations. But in the park, in the Rogers Campground, there's literally dozens more locations where other things can happen that have absolutely no determination on what the Free State Project does or thinks or says. They don't get to control what happens on the Free Talk Live campsite, for instance. So Aria DeMezzo, one of our co-hosts, wanted to do a trans story hour. Didn't really work out. She tried to, and I forget what happened. Essentially, nothing happened. As I understand, she couldn't find any drag queens who were willing to appear or whatever it was.
And she didn't want to end up doing it herself, so she didn't do it.
She said she was willing to do it herself, but I guess, you know, it just fizzled out for whatever reason. But anyway, so it didn't work out. Sometimes things on these other campsites can be very popular, sometimes not so much. So if there's some Republican who wants to have Vivek come and speak, or if Vivek himself wants to buy a campsite,
I think he did
his own little. Well, he had his bus. Yeah,
yeah,
it was really ugly.
it was huge. It was a big,
so obnoxious. But if he wants to have his own little campsite and have his own little speech there, then fine. I don't. That to me is completely. I mean, I'd prefer he not be there, but I don't care. It's on his site. He can do whatever he wants. In the same way that Body Freedom Village can be naked on their campsite, and the Christians can have themselves a prayer circle on their campsite. None of those things happening in the campground are a direct reflection of the Free State Project as a movement, like the main stage is. And so to put one of these politicians, or in this case, more than one, it was, I believe, Vivek, RFK Jr., Larry Elder, who's another Republican running for president, and I think they were going to have Tulsi Gabbard, but she canceled, and then there was some other, I think, Republican guy that showed up, whose name I'm not recalling at the moment, but they had at least three or four of these national-level politicians who are not libertarians, who do not espouse libertarianism, who are not going to be converted to libertarianism. They're not going to show up at Porkfest, get asked some tough questions by the crowd, which I hope they were, but, you know, that's the best that we can do is just ask some tough questions, which, of course, they'll ignore and or, you know, slime around and not directly answer.
Which they did.
As, of course, they are, you know, likely to do. And then at the end of the day, they'll kiss some babies and shake some hands, and they'll move on to their next speaking event. And then we have to, you know, we've got the ick of politicians all over the event because of this, and the problem of their followers and their sycophants showing up who also don't believe in liberty, who also are not likely to be converted because they're true believers in this one politician. Well, so, like, what's the benefit to these people?
I gotta say, I just think Porkfest is gonna be a lot bigger next year with
I hope so.
Vowing to not let Mikey in, and with all this crap that they're gonna continue doing with, you know, politicians.
Well,
the good news,
the politicians are done next year because it's not a presidential primary. So all those politicians who are so interested in us, they're not going to have any interest because they're all going to be wiped out by the time the next Porkfest comes, because the primaries are going to be all done by that point, I think. I'm pretty sure they don't go through the summertime. If they do, they're not going to be focusing on New Hampshire because New Hampshire happens first. So Vivek's not coming back. RFK's not coming back.
Good.
Larry Elder, he's not coming back. The best.
Yeah, they didn't turn into the libertarians and decide they're going to come every year.
No. No way. The only thing that's going to happen in 2024, which is why I said 2024 is already going to be a better year, because these people who just want to pander, the people who are just politicians, will not be there in 2024. At best, the libertarian nominee will show up. And you know what? That's fine. I don't mind if Gary Johnson or Joe Jorgensen or whoever it is that gets the libertarian nomination comes and speaks from the main stage. I still think that it should be only Free Staters who speak from the main stage. That's how I would program it. If it were me, I would only...
That actually does make sense.
Yeah, I would only have New Hampshire libertarian activists, not per se Free Staters. If you're a native, you can be up there too, right? But, you know, if you're a liberty activist here in New Hampshire, you should be on the main stage. We should be highlighting the cool stuff that's going on here in New Hampshire, the great activism, the great people that are here, and then, you know, put the politicians somewhere else. somewhere where they're welcome, because I think it's a big detriment.
Well, that's all I really think we have time for talking about the Free State Project tonight. I mean, Porkfest tonight. Let's go to the phones. Caller, you're on Free Talk Live. What's your name, caller?
Epicurus.
Epicurus.
Epicurus, what's your topic tonight?
Well, it was about Porkfest. I don't know if you want to talk about it.
Yeah.
Oh, no, yeah, we can talk ahead about Porkfest. I meant us just, you know, rambling about, you know, what we think about Porkfest. We've kind of talked about this for the last, like, month, us, but I want to hear what you have to say about it.
Okay. I was there right before Porkfest, during Porkfest and the setup there. It was kind of sleepy and there wasn't really much going on. I think everyone was sleeping off the long drive before preparing for Porkfest. I had a question. It's on everyone's minds, and I know it's all been, you know, talked about death, but it's still really a big issue. I was wondering what was going on there at the Free Talk Live tent. There was a progressive pride flag there. Yeah, what does that mean to you guys? What does that flag represent? Because to me, it represents a lot of authoritarianism.
I think to me personally, I mean, it was Arya's flag, but to me, the pride flag just means supporting LGBTQ rights, you know, just supporting people's right to be gay or trans, whatever they are.
Yeah, I just think it's weird that the idea of progressivism is just all tied up with it. I think all it means is we support your right to be proud of who you are, even if you're one of these minorities. I mean, it doesn't necessarily imply all these things that it seems that a lot of people assume it implies. Like, what does it imply, you know, I don't think it has to even apply egalitarianism. It's just, you know, we support you here. If you're somebody who's usually marginalized,
I got the impression that it was trolling on behalf of Arya DiMezzo, who was, you know, obviously frustrated by the Maj Tour situation, as all of us were, where this man was threatening violence against drag queens who might be, you know, committing the act of reading to children. This man was going to assault them. I don't think that Arya would have posted that flag if there wasn't such this sort of anti-trans, anti-gay fervor coming from certain people from the conservative side.
I don't think it was 100% a troll. Like, it's not like I think she actually hates the pride flag.
No, I'm not saying that.
But she did say she was kind of trolling conservatives.
I don't think she would have put it up otherwise.
No, she wouldn't. And typically, Arya has historically kind of been critical of, like, Pride Month and stuff like that.
Yes, I believe I've heard that. So, do you guys, think the progressive Pride flag represents intersectionalism? It doesn't represent racial issues as well as sexual orientation, as well as all these other things?
No.
Do you think it represents an ideology?
Why is it progressive, though?
I just think that it's a rainbow flag. Like, you can add whatever ideas you want onto it, and maybe the person who made it had certain ideas, but things take on different meanings, and it's not like, I don't know, everyone who uses the Christian fish isn't somebody actually hiding from Caesar. That's what it originally meant, isn't it? I mean, now it just means, I'm a Christian. You could be a Baptist, you could be a fundamentalist, and they're all going to use the same Christian fish.
Well, and sure, and you know, and what it represents in the course of history will be determined by history and time. But I think if you look closely at it and look it up a little bit, and I believe I have the name of the guy that made it, Daniel. I think Daniel something or Gilbert Baker. I may have been the one. I think Gilbert Baker made the original LGBTQ pride flag. I'm looking it up at clearintheworld.com right now, just describing this.
Can you do me a favor, Epicurus, and just back off your phone? It's kind of grating. Okay. There's a really loud distortion going on.
I believe Daniel.
It didn't really help.
I just think ultimately it doesn't matter like I said, it doesn't matter who originally made it, or even if he meant it to be progressivism, however you want to define that. It's just, Arya can put it up. And if you talk to her and think she's a progressive, then you're dumb. Not saying you, Epicurus. I'm not saying you, Epicurus. I'm just saying that you're acting like everybody has to, who puts a pride flag up, has to believe the same things about it that the man who first made it believed in. I mean, you don't have to believe that.
Typically, all the pride flag means is that either someone, usually what it means is either someone is like gay or trans or whatever, some form of LGBTQ plus, or they are supportive of those people. I think that's like the most common understanding and like definition of what the pride flag means. But I don't think any of us at Free Talk Live was really taking it that seriously.
Right.
I think Aria just put it up because she kind of wanted to do a little bit of trolling, but also kind of just show that we are in support of those sort of things, and or at the very least, don't care what other people do. You know what I mean?
Right. And
yeah,
speaking of, just using things only to mean what they originally meant or whatever, what about the word progressive? Because I consider myself a progressive. I'm someone who believes that humanity should continue in an upward evolutionary pattern and not stay stuck in traditions and things that could hold us back. That's what that word really means. And now it has this connotation, I understand, that means like a left winger or a socialist and all this stuff, but it doesn't have to mean that.
Intersectionalist woke.
Okay.
What is intersectionalist?
Let's define woke then.
I'd like to know what intersectionalist means. I've never heard that.
So it's an ideology called intersectionalism in which the term may have been coined by Robin DeAngelis in her book White Fragility, but It's an ideology that I actually saw forming as I grew up in Oregon, and it's a secular non-theist religion in which it engages in censorship to shut down what it calls hate speech, or anything that's not approved. And the whole purpose of it is to find a new type. It's a creed of victimhood. The whole purpose of it is to find more and more marginalized people and to grant them even higher social status and more political power based on their victimhood.
And again, so, this is just a thing that you're adding on to the definition of progressivism. So can't you see
I'm
my
not
point?
About progressivism.
What?
The only reason I said progressive pride flag is because that's what it's called. It's called the progressive pride flag. I don't care what the name is. I'm trying to be specific so we know exactly what I'm talking about. But it may be part of a greater progressive political something. I don't care. But my understanding is every time I ever see organizations of people, the groups, and collections of people that have the intersectionalist talking points, there's always that flag around. So that's why I'm associating with that. I can't think of a better representation of intersectionalism, otherwise known as critical race theory, than that flag.
Well, you asked us a question, and I mean, we answered the question about what it means to us, and the main point about that I have to say about it is, you listen to the show. Epicurus is a longtime caller. He went to Porkfest. He knows that at the beginning of the show, we were talking about how stupid egalitarianism, victimhood mentality, anti-hate speech laws are. Like, what's the point? It's like, and he believes that anytime he sees that flag, that those people have to have those ideas, and I don't, and my point is just that that's not true, so. Free Talk Live.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, veterinarian and naturopathic physician. The Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy with an important message. Take charge of your health. Do not continue to blindly follow the system that has failed us all. I appreciate GCN listeners because you're open-minded and intelligent. If our system is so great, why is it that the United States, the USA, ranks nearly 60th worldwide in longevity and number one in obesity? All the while, we spend more money than all the other countries combined annually on unnecessary health care procedures and toxic drugs. It doesn't take much to get on track. Not with the government or pharmaceutical companies, but rather you in control of your own health with a basic understanding of nutrition and supplementation. FDI Longevity has the finest quality health, sports, and energy supplements available. GCN listeners are invited to join our team of people who want to stay healthy well into old age. We are currently looking for specialists to represent FDI Longevity and save America. To buy products at wholesale prices or join our business team, go to GCNteam.com. That's GCNteam.com. Support GCN. Get healthy.
US TSA News Update. It's been a rough day for air travel with about 1,500 flight cancellations and over 3,000 delays. Patty Mancha with the TSA says it's important for travelers to check with their carrier before heading to the airport.
If you're traveling this week from Friday to Wednesday, you're going to wait. Early in the morning, you're going to wait even longer.
United Airlines is being hit the hardest by delays. JetBlue Airways came in second, according to the tracking company FlightAware. The worst is in the Northeast. Several Amtrak cars have derailed after a collision with a vehicle near Los Angeles. Three cars came off the tracks after hitting a water truck that was sitting on the rails. The train had over 200 people inside, 15 of whom were taken to a hospital for minor injuries. The truck driver was transported to a trauma center. The Ventura County Sheriff's Office is investigating why the vehicle was on the tracks at the time. I'm Ryan Daniels, USA News.
My name is Don Wiskin, and at 42 years old, I suffered a massive heart attack, lost 35% of my heart to damaged tissue, and was supposed to spend the rest of my life on disability. What did I do? I took Extendivite, a garlic and cayenne mix of seven herbs which rebuilt my heart and gave me back my life. For over 17 years now, I have made this formula available to you, so you don't have to suffer the same thing I did. Clean your blocked arteries and strengthen your heart and boost your natural immune system. I'm 60 years old now and I still work every day. To get your Extendivite, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Life can be full of risks. One thing you shouldn't take a risk with ever is your family's health insurance. If you're self-employed or you now need affordable health insurance, you need to make this free call right now and see how the Health Insurance Helpline can help you get it. We specialize in helping the self-employed and people just like you that need affordable health insurance to get it. We have short and long-term health insurance plans, and some even cover dental, vision, and prescription drugs. Don't take a risk with your family's health insurance. It's not worth it. If you're self-employed or now need affordable health insurance, call right now and learn for free how to get it. Listen, affordable health insurance plans for everyone just like you are a free phone call away. So give us a shout right now.
800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. That's 800-670-0946.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
If you want to get in this last half hour, 603-283-6160. In the studio tonight, you've got me, Bonnie, Mickey,
and Ian.
And let's go right to the phone. We have Sarah from New Mexico calling. Sarah, what's on your mind?
Yes, so our city, we're going to be putting in three more speeding cameras. Actually, on state highways going through Albuquerque. And, because I've been working on this for years.
Are they going to actually just, aren't they going to just cut them down again, Sarah?
I thought everybody was, okay, they never paid, never went to court, and after three of them, they all got their license back. Our governor decided to let them drive to go to work and pick up their kids in school. So I don't know what the penalties are and why we're putting on three cameras. And I'm really excited because these were the Coors, Alameda, and their state highways. And then they kept the speeding cameras off of those state highways.
I feel like I'm having deja vu right now.
Yeah, she talks about this all the time. And also,
that's too bad. She had a good topic last night.
She didn't seem to answer my question because I asked her what's going to happen isn't what's going to happen. It's just somebody's going to go cut them down again, because Sarah's called about Albuquerque, New Mexico getting red light cameras before, and people go and cut them down.
Well, I think they have them up high now. Hmm. I don't know if they're supposed. They have 17.
A ladder.
Yeah, I don't know if they're gonna do all that. I don't know. They're the only one that cut them down because it was only like six by 8 feet. Now they put them up like really high. But the problem was that their license, there was a committee that revoked their license.
The people that cut it down, or the people who went through the red light cameras speeding?
Okay, these people, this is not the red light cameras. This is the speeding cameras only.
Whose license got revoked? You're saying there was a committee that revoked a license?
Right. Okay, there was a, in the roundhouse, that said after three speeding camera tickets or speeding traffic tickets, either by the police, mm-hmm. their license should be suspended. And what happens if they repeal all that? They all got 308,000 people that got their license suspended. They all got their license back.
Right. So, you had called about that before. And I think that's good news, because that basically means 300,000 people in New Mexico can go back to work. They don't have to rely on somebody else to give them a ride or deal with public transportation. Maybe that doesn't go where they need it to go or when they need to be there. So now they can drive again. 300,000 people, which is literally like a tenth of the population of New Mexico.
Well, that's why they did it, because they're like, you know what, we got these, we didn't go to court, we didn't make it, but we can't take our kids to school, we can't go grocery shop, we can't go to work. I mean, so therefore they got, but then my question is, why are they putting up three more speeding cameras?
Because they want revenue.
In the city of Albuquerque, when they got their license back. I mean, what's the penalty be at? I'm still...
Revenue, it's money. They want money.
It just sounds to me like Sarah's so shocked that her speeding cameras aren't actually doing anything.
I mean, I feel like we told her this like 6 months ago, though.
They're making money.
No,
that's what they're going to do. They're not going to keep people off the roads.
They're not stopping people from speeding, honestly.
Right.
And they don't care about safety or any... Yeah, they want you to speed so they can ticket you.
Well, thank you, Sarah. I feel like I'm having a stroke listening to that.
Yeah. She had a good call last night, though, at least. I don't know. I feel like I want to talk more about the flag, though, real quick.
Okay.
Because it seemed like it was really offensive to that caller. And I'm glad that he called about it, right? Because... Like,
yeah.
That's the appropriate way to handle the situation, rather than, like, silently fume about, how dare they put that intersectionalist flag up when most of us don't even know what that means.
Yeah. Right, I mean, but the thing is, we did answer him, and he just went on about what the flag means as if it matters to us.
I also think it would have been better to, because he said he was at Forkfest, to maybe ask, like, Aria.
Yeah, why not just ask them?
Yeah. Exactly, because she was... at the Free Talk Live site the majority of the time, and it was technically her flag that
she put
up. So, and obviously, I mean, I didn't have an issue with it, but...
I didn't really care because, I get the viewpoint that, like, how many colors can you put on this thing? I understand that. I understand that perspective of, okay, how inclusive can this one flag become? Because they keep adding bars to it, right?
Yeah.
They keep adding
now they're, like, slanting them different ways.
Yeah, there's just so much, and it's getting crazy.
There's, like, an infinity sign on it now.
It's getting pretty crazy. So I get that viewpoint, and I get
my favorite pride flag is definitely the regular rainbow one.
Yeah, why isn't that good enough?
That is supposed to include everyone,
right? Because it's the rainbow, right? Yeah. Like it's literally the visible light spectrum. Okay, yes, it's divided into colors, but you understand that the rainbow is the whole spectrum of people. That wasn't that good. Why wasn't that good enough? So I get the point. But I'm sure the same people would have been upset if it's just normal rainbow flag have been up there as well, because it means something more to them than it might mean to the person who put it up, who simply it just might mean to them, we just want to be inclusive. We just want to welcome everybody to this site. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't really have anything else to add about it.
Yeah, I don't know what intersectionality is still. I looked at
that. Yeah, it wasn't a really good explanation of it either.
I've had it explained a million times on different YouTubers talking about, like, feminism back in, like, 2016. That was, like, a huge topic. And really, it means whatever you want it to mean. It basically means, like, feminism, in the terms of feminism, it means you can't just be purporting or promoting rights of white women. You need to also make sure you're intersectioning that group, as in, like, feminism should be for all races of women. But the thing is, it seems a little unnecessary, and it does seem to purposely do the thing that he's saying, like, oh, women, it goes from just women are marginalized and we have this issue and we need women to have more rights, to, oh, well, you're not marginalized enough because you're a white woman. We are now digging in deeper, and it's definitely part of that.
He was talking about a victim mentality. It could
victim
definitely,
mentality.
I just have the Wikipedia pulled up here, and it's just trying to read the statements. My eyes sort of glaze over, and it gets very difficult. I'm going to give you, ladies, the just the first paragraph here. It's relatively short, maybe like three or four sentences, and tell me if you can make heads or tails out of this, okay? Intersectionality is an analytical framework for understanding how a person's various social and political identities combine to create different modes of discrimination and privilege. Intersectionality identifies multiple factors of advantage and disadvantage. Examples of these factors include gender, caste, race, sex, ethnicity, class, sexuality, religion, disability, weight, and physical appearance.
Well, I understand what it's saying. It's saying basically what I'm saying. It's saying, like, yeah, you may be a woman, and we're feminists here, but you're not, oppressed enough because you're a white, skinny woman. A fat, black woman is more oppressed, and that's basically what it is.
These intersecting and overlapping social identities may be both empowering and oppressing. However, little good quality quantitative research has been done to support or undermine the theory of intersectionality.
It's like what somebody would learn in their, like,
in college.
If they're, like, studying, like, gender studies or something.
Totally.
Like, I just couldn't imagine, like, researching that. Like,
it's
out of all of the
so
things
boring.
You could spend your time to learn about, like, this is what... it's just crazy.
Yeah, it's just awful.
And the thing is, it's just all opinion. It's like, right now, there's this big thing. Like, I follow, like, Pariah the Doll on Twitter, and she has lots of trans friends that bring up the idea a lot that it's totally fine among, like, the worst type of online leftists to talk badly about white gays. Like, you can call white gays the F word. I don't know if I can say on the radio.
Yeah, I don't know either.
But and that's totally fine amongst these people. And, like, in fact, they will go off on it. And, oh, my God, I've seen some really terrible
just
things.
Just, like, doesn't even make any sense, though.
Yeah, like...
You know, like... Yeah, it makes no sense at all.
It's just like, if you're principled, you should believe, like, all people have rights, and that's it. And I just don't get this cutting it up. All it does is seem to divide people, and
sure.
The thing is, the white gays are not taking the black gays' rights from them. The government is. The government is taking everyone's rights from them.
It also just feels like a waste of time, kind of. Like, if Bonnie and I were to sit here and try to decide who is more oppressed... Like, that doesn't feel like a positive or uplifting thing. Like, that doesn't feel like a useful use of our time. Who cares who's more oppressed? You know what I mean? Like, let's do something better.
Yep.
Well, I mean, let's end all oppression, right?
Absolutely.
I can answer this right now. Ian, the person who's being literally persecuted and prosecuted by the government, is less oppressed than Nikki and I, who aren't, because he's
women.
A male.
Yeah, exactly.
A+, Bonnie. You
passed.
Yep.
That's basically all it means.
Here's your gender studies degree.
And obviously people who would be saying things like this on the radio are not the type of people that Epicurus assumes would have that type of flag. And I'm sorry, it's just, I don't think people should go around making assumptions about people just because they see a flag. You should go out and meet them.
Yeah,
actually
ask them a question.
Well, I'm glad that he called in to ask, but like Nikki said, he could have also did that at Porkfest and asked Aria, or yesterday when Aria was on for last night and asked Aria.
Is that yesterday? 2 days ago, I think.
Whatever. Yeah, 2 days ago.
Studyfinds.org reports that new research reveals many people who cheat still deeply love their partner or spouse, yet show little regret about their behavior. According to the story here, in an era where societal norms are constantly being redefined and examined, A recently published study on infidelity throws a spotlight on the complex psychological nature of extrarelational affairs. Researchers at Johns Hopkins University delved into the minds of users of the website Ashley Madison, which you may have heard of. It is a notorious dating platform. I think they had like a data leak a long time ago that reveals insights. It's designed for those seeking affairs. So the people on Ashley Madison, you know, are people who are currently have a relationship and they want to cheat. The results reveal insights that challenge longstanding assumptions about why people cheat, opening a Pandora's box of fresh questions about human behavior with intimate relationships. The study, which they call groundbreaking, is one of the most comprehensive investigations of its kind, unearths a number of paradoxical findings. Perhaps the most striking is that many of those engaged in extramarital or extrarelational affairs reported harboring strong feelings of love towards their primary partners. The seemingly contradictory behavior uncovers a puzzling intersection of emotional attachment and infidelity, suggesting that the reasons behind unfaithful behavior are far more nuanced than previously understood.
I don't understand cheating because, like, just be poly, you know, and I guess, like, not every partner would be cool with that, but that's why it's probably important to have these discussions before people get married. You know, like, if you're a very monogamous person, then... And it's just like these topics are kind of like taboo to talk about. Like, you're not supposed to like ask these questions on your first date, but I think it's kind of important to like, because being, I think there's nothing wrong with being poly. And I think if more people just accepted that as like an acceptable form of relationship, I think there'd be a lot less issues.
The thing is, though, I don't know if I agree with that. I mean, maybe it would be less cheating. Having been someone who's been in open relationships in the past, I'm currently not because it didn't work. I thought it would be a good idea because then people would be more honest about how they're feeling. It's like, if you're thinking about you want to be with somebody else, we can just talk about it rather than you having to hide it. But as it turned out, the people who I was within poly relation or open relationships with were not actually open at all and actually still cheated in the so-called open relationship, even though they could have been honest.
Yeah, that's
so
strange.
They chose not to be. And I don't know if it had to do with, like, the excitement, right, of, oh, you might get caught.
I guess that could be it. I just, it's tough for me to analyze this and, like, to think about it because I just, like, don't, like, none of that resonates with me, you know what I mean? Like, I just can't relate to any of that.
Right.
Like, for me, if I wanted to leave my partner or, like, if I wanted to be with somebody else, I would just leave them, you know what I mean? Or, like, establish an open relationship. But I guess, like you're saying, that doesn't always work out. And I have seen, like, some people who... you know, we're married in a happy relationship and they're like, oh, let's do something like fun and spicy. Let's, you know, open it up and either do like an open relationship or, you know, have a second wife, a poly relationship, something like that. And I've seen some like long marriages get destroyed because sometimes it just overcomplicates things. And for some, you know, for some relationships it works. But I think typically a monogamous relationship is like the least complicated and...
I think it comes down to, one, the excitement, like Ian said, for cheating. Some people think that it's exciting to, like, almost get caught or whatever, which is just, I feel like you'd have to be a psychopath to think that's
like,
fun.
Yeah, gives me anxiety.
But I also think that it has to do with cowardice, because it's like, in the situation where Ian was in relationships, which they had already decided, if you want to be with somebody else, just let me know, and they couldn't even do that, it's like, you're just
that
a coward.
Sure, yeah.
You just, you don't want to, you know, just have this conversation that bad that you're willing to cheat.
So what else did they find here? They revealed in this research that individuals can grapple with moral consistency, endorsing values that ostensibly prohibit infidelity while simultaneously engaging in affairs. They say here that in popular media, people who have affairs have an intense moral guilt, but we don't see that in this sample of participants, said the people who authored the study. In a statement, they said ratings for satisfaction with affairs was high, sexual satisfaction and emotional satisfaction, and feelings of regret were low. These findings paint a more complicated picture of infidelity compared to what we thought we knew. The demographic study was primarily middle-aged, predominantly male users of Ashley Madison. While this skewed sample does limit the ability to generalize the findings across different genders and age groups, it does provide unique insights into a demographic that has been less frequently studied in the context of infidelity. So the research involved an analysis of responses from a cohort of active users of the Ashley Madison site. Groups A, B, and C were the samples. They were given either one or two different questionnaires at separate periods of time or asked to complete both of them. So then they give some of the numbers of how many people were involved, and we're talking about hundreds and hundreds. So 810 in sample A, 868 in sample B. So, you know, this is a fairly large study. And the surveys asked questions about their relationship status, quality, satisfaction, intimacy, and conflict, as well as about their self-esteem, life satisfaction, sociosexuality, and motivations for having affairs. And then in the second survey, they asked more questions about, to those who had admitted they'd had an affair, about how satisfying it was emotionally and sexually, whether they regretted it, and what sexual behaviors they'd engaged in with their affair partners. Participants reported not having an affair were given reasons for this, I guess.
Well, if they're on Ashley Madison, aren't they supposed to be having an affair?
Well, just because you're on the site doesn't mean that you've succeeded, right, in actually finding a woman that's going to have sex with you.
Okay.
Because, again, these are males, right? So we know that on dating websites, males kind of take whatever they can get, and women get the top tier choices from whatever they want. Though through careful data analysis, researchers were able to paint a vivid picture of the motivations and sentiments experienced by those engaging in infidelity. Despite maintaining significant emotional bonds with their partners, they indulged in these affairs and derived considerable physical and emotional satisfaction from them. Not only did they experience pleasure from being unfaithful, because why else would they do it? I mean, if it was unpleasurable, then they would presumably stop. But they also expressed minimal remorse or regret over their actions. And, again, this, again, sort of goes against the sort of standard viewpoint.
I totally believe that because I've had, like, some coworkers that would cheat all the time. Like, this one lady had a whole entire burner phone.
And you knew about it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Why, yeah, she had a whole, and she was open about it to everyone that worked there, obviously, except for her family and her husband.
Whoa.
But she had a whole different phone that she would use. She was.
The cheater phone.
She was sleeping with a lot of guys. She would meet them at the restaurant and, like, go into the parking lot and do things.
Oh,
like,
God.
She was wild, but she had no remorse. She was just like, I'm a sex addict. I'm not attracted to my husband anymore. And this is just what I do. And she was very open about it. I think her husband even might have, like,
suspected.
Known. I mean, because she was being very open about it. And then there was another person.
Yeah, like, how could it not have gotten back to him?
Exactly. And there was another guy I worked at that same restaurant, and he was constantly cheating on his wife. And it was the same thing where he was just like, I'm a sex addict and I don't care. And he had no remorse. And yeah, it was crazy.
I wonder if that's what these people are in this study.
I think another thing it could be, I've already said that it's psychopathy and the excitement and cowardice. Another thing could be just a self-fulfilling prophecy because I have a good friend I love very much and I think she's a good person. But she's cheated so many times, more than anyone else that I know in different relationships. And not anymore. She's with a guy that she loves, and I'm very happy about that. So it's like it's finally stopped.
Hmm.
But everyone she ever dated
that
before,
you
that
know.
She cheated on.
I mean,
well,
maybe she wouldn't tell you.
She would tell me.
Okay.
But anyways, she used to always say, I'm just such a bad person. I just cheat on everyone. You know, she would say that, and it's like,
yeah,
that's kind of a self-fulfilling prophecy. Like, I just,
if you say it, it's true, right?
Yeah, and if you've been saying it since you were 14, might be true.
So,
or might make it true, I mean.
Apparently, interestingly, despite their cheating ways, participants still displayed a high degree of love for their partners and even made substantial efforts to improve their relationships and reported high personal life satisfaction. They're typically factors that would encourage fidelity, but they coexisted alongside of their infidelity. Notably, sexual dissatisfaction was identified as a prominent motivation for pursuing affairs, meaning that they love their partner. Maybe they've even got kids with their partner. They've been with this person for 20 years, but they're just not getting the level of sexual activity that they maybe used to or had the expectation that they did, and they've just gone elsewhere for that. The observation underscores the idea that satisfaction in a relationship and desire for extramarital experiences are not necessarily mutually exclusive. The author study, the author of the study notes that people have a diversity of motivations to cheat. Sometimes they'll cheat even if their relationships are pretty good. We don't see solid evidence here that people's affairs are associated with lower relationship quality or lower life satisfaction. They also delved into the realm of consensual non-monogamy, so polyamory, I would guess.
I mean, this is all coming from the side of the person who's on Ashley Madison. We don't know mm-hmm. that the person who's not on Ashley, the one that's getting cheated on, isn't perceiving some kind of lower quality in their relationship, whether they know about the cheating or not.
Yeah, because it kind of does feel like, oh, you can get your cake and eat it too. Like, oh, you can sleep around and you have this, like, you know, loving relationship to come home to. And, you know, this wife or husband that's, like, taking care of your kids and whatever.
I just don't see how it'd be possible as a woman to be being cheated on and not be sensing something.
A lot of women, so, and I've seen cases where someone will try to be a good friend or whatever and be like, hey, I know your partner's cheating on you. Like, just wanted to let you know, either, you know, whatever. It's like they will present concrete evidence. Like, here's a text message, a photo.
Yeah.
And they're like, they would never do that. And they, like, you can give them literal evidence, and a lot of people will just deny
it.
Whoa. Yeah, they just, because it's, they just don't want to admit it, or they don't want to believe it for whatever reason.
Because it would destroy their, what they perceive as their whole life, or like their relationships, their whole life.
Yeah, exactly.
If that, if this is true, then it's going to destroy my whole life, so I can't accept it as true.
So that is, I think, crazy. A lot of people are kind of just lying to themselves. Like, they'll know deep down inside, but they either, they just, they want to pretend it's not happening, so they just ignore it.
Well, it's sad. I believe everybody can get to a place where they deserve, I mean, everybody deserves to be cared for by other people, but you don't necessarily deserve a loving relationship if you aren't willing to work on yourself. But I believe that everybody has the ability to get to a place where they deserve a loving, committed relationship, or what, maybe not committed if that's what you're into, you know, like a poly relationship, I guess. But I think it's sad to believe, like, I just can't do any better than this guy that's cheating on me, when you aren't agreeing to him cheating on you. And all you have to do is work on being okay, being alone.
Obviously they know that it's not going to be popular with their spouse, because that's why they're not telling them, right?
Right.
So. Or it's part of the allure, like the excitement, you know, even if, like, maybe their spouse would be, you know, forgiving or okay with it. You know, that would kind of ruin, you know, part of the excitement, I guess.
Well, that's just sad and freaky. And I don't like it. But it goes on, and I guess those people have every right to live in those kind of weird relationships that they want. Like, I wouldn't say that Ashley Madison should be taken down by the government, but anyways, this has been Free Talk Live. Thanks for tuning in. We're going to be on tomorrow at 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. There's no reason why you shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there. And I'm going to give you a free copy of my lecture that tells you exactly how to do it. In fact, after you've lived a long and healthy life, there should be only two documents in your medical chart, a birth certificate and a death certificate. I'm Dr. Wallach with a warning. If you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol, high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, and other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. My free lecture is going to reveal what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally, and it's all in my free lecture called Deadly Recipe. So call toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. Again, that's toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. 1-855-79-YOUNG.
I had no idea it would destroy my life, but before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers. There's only 4 days' worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to GCNfood.com. GCNfood.com.